Good evening. Welcome to The Blues. I'm Lee Hay. The 59th Annual Grammy Awards, with around 70 categories this year, will be announced Sunday, February 12th. So tonight I put together a special Grammy edition of The Blues. We'll start off with music from some of the blues-nominated musicians, including Lurie Bell, the Blind Boys of Alabama, and Geneva Magnus. The rest of tonight's program will feature an interview by Ron Esposito with guitarist-producer Paul Nelson, who's nominated for a Blues Grammy for his production work on Joe Louis Walker's album, Everybody Wants a Piece. During that interview, you'll hear about Paul Nelson's work with Johnny Winter and how Mr. Nelson put together his own band. And we'll close this special with a song from the Grammy-nominated soundtrack to Don Cheadle's film Miles Ahead, which was filmed here in Cincinnati. The Grammys on The Blues.
We'll be right back. nation's wearing way past them. You're up to here with all the lonely. This is where we begin, yeah. Now this is so much more than a romance. Crystal clear right from the start. We fit together now.
Sister will do, but when she get married. when mother is gone.
Mother is gone.
Yes, he will. He'll do what he can when mother is gone.
Mother,
yeah,
is gone.
He'll do the best he can, but so many things he just don't understand.
Blind Boys of Alabama with Mother's Children Have a Hard Time from the album God Don't Never Change, the songs of Blind Willie Johnson. That's up for a Grammy in the Best American Roots Performance category. Before that, we heard Geneva Magnus, Love Wins Again, title track. She's performing in Mumbai, India, next Saturday night, February 11th. And this album, Love Wins Again, is up for Best Contemporary Blues Album. It's up against Joe Louis Walker's Everybody Wants a Piece release. And at the top of the show, from the Best Traditional Blues Album category, Lurie Bell, Blues is Trying to Keep Up with Me, recorded in Chicago. Coming up next, Ron Esposito's interview with Paul Nelson on the blues.
I'm Ron Esposito. And this evening, we're going to be in conversation with guitarist and producer Paul Nelson. We'll be talking with Paul about his latest record with his group, the Paul Nelson Band. And before that, we'll be talking with Paul about some of his recording projects. Paul Nelson is a Grammy Award-winning guitarist and producer who worked with Johnny Winter on the acclaimed album Step Back, which won the 2015 Best Blues Album Grammy. And Paul has now been nominated for a 2017 Grammy in the Best Contemporary Blues Album category for his producing on the latest Joe Louis Walker album, Everybody Wants a Piece.
How are you? I guess we're done. The introduction was so long, that's the interview.
My man.
It's so great to be here. Thanks for the introduction. I appreciate it. Thanks for listening to my music. My new album, The Paul Nelson Band, it can be found anywhere. It just came out. It's doing really well. But yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, Paul, why don't you tell us about the Grammys? What are the Grammys? How do you get nominated?
Well, actually, it's pretty wild. As far as when you see an artist receive an award, one has to think, how did he get the award? They didn't know he was going to get the award, and how is he possibly holding the award? They're called dummies. They're a dummy Grammy or a dummy Oscar or whatever, because if you look very closely, your name's not written on them. You receive that way later. So they hand you this to take all the photos and do all that kind of thing, but you receive it months later. But it's a wonderful night. They have the after parties, the before parties, the, you know, that kind of thing. But sitting there waiting, and especially, you know, for Johnny's thing, it was bittersweet because he never won a Grammy for his own work. But, you know, I really wanted him to get this. You don't plan on, there's no way of knowing when you're recording, but I knew he was due, and we put a lot of work into the record. But when you sit there, and it just so happened that our category was 90 deep. So you're sitting there with the Latin and the classical and the best shrink wrap and the, you know, the best tube of toothpaste. It's like every single, that's why they've narrowed it down a lot of times, you know, instead of having two categories for blues, they condense it to one. Instead of having three categories for Latin, they get, because it's just so much. And then all of a sudden, it's close. And you're sitting there, you're going, and you're thinking, you know, well, is it going to do it? What am I going to do? Do I run up? Do I walk up? What am I going to say? You try to prepare something, but it's so impromptu, you're not ready for it. You know, when I went up there, it really hit me because all the emotions of being with Johnny for so many years of recording, right. It just was just like a time tunnel. It was just a flashback. And he got it. You know, he had heard the whole record. He loved it. And he said to me in the studio, when I played on the mix, he said, you know what? If you and I don't get a Grammy for this, they're nuts. There's no way of telling, but it would be nice. And we did.
Thank you.
that's it's a great event. It's over in L.A., Staples Center, and the way they changed the group's performance, everything's set up next to each other, and the camera right. just isolates on each one individually. Yeah. It's huge, and the banners and everything go up, and then the cameras move over. So it's a huge event. And yeah, I'll be going again. I'm up for another one.
I know, with Joe Louis Walker. So why don't you tell us how this thing with Joe Louis come about and, you know, getting that Grammy for the Johnny Winter record help you get hooked up with Joe?
Johnny was a friend of his. Joe is a legendary blues artist in the style of traditional blues and Chicago blues, but he's also was actually roommates with Mike Bloomfield. He was into that whole type of thing.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Butterfield yeah. kind of thing. We befriended each other, and he knew my work with Johnny, and he asked me to join in, and I recorded him, and I played on the album. As a matter of fact, my pet dog, Pork Chop, is barking on one of the barnyard dog kind of blues tunes. So my dog actually is up for a Grammy, and I think what you can do is, when you get a Grammy, the artist gets it, the producer, the mixer, and the engineer. But each person that worked on it, be it the lawyers, be it the booking agents, be it the who wrote the liner notes, or the performing artist, the horn player, the harp player, each person can then contact the Grammy and say, look, I was on this album that got nominated,
yeah.
or I was on this album that won it. So I can actually submit a form asking if my pet can receive a Grammy, and I can't wait. This already has been nominated, so I can only call and do that. But if it were to do that, it would be a great thing just for the pet lovers of the world.
Oh, so, yeah, baby.
But it's a great record. The musicians did a great job. Joe did a great job. It's on Mascot Records. They're really happy because I think it's the first album of theirs that got a Grammy. And you know, I really got into this producing thing. You know, it's like the same as an actor, you know, being in front of the camera, then behind the camera, or both.
Right.
Just, I love every aspect of music, so I love doing everything. Thank you.
Let's start talking about you in the context as a musician and with your own band. When you read about Paul Nelson in Wikipedia or go onto YouTube, you've done it all.
You know, as a kid, I grew up, I wanted to play in all these bands that I heard. I emulated their music. I looked at all the magazines and, you know, I wanted to be in these bands. And then later on, all of a sudden, you know, it's one and another. And even the interviews like this, magazines, TV things, it's like all of a sudden it just piles up. It's like, wow, I finally did this magazine. I finally did this and that. And then it's like I did it twice, and it's amazing. I still pinch myself. But it comes down to the music. Music is the deal, because that's the love. You just play, 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 and these accolades come about if they appreciate your stuff. And sometimes maybe you don't get it. But if you keep pushing, something happens. Yeah. Everything becomes part of history, whether it's bad or good. You know, it has to be categorized. So the way of interviewing and talking and writing stuff down just becomes dork lore.
Well, let's talk a bit here about the new record, the Paul Nelson Band. You know, guitar, bass, drums with singer. Yep. I tell you what, man, it is tight, crunchy, laser focused. I know that guys like Steve Vai and Mike Stern and Steve Kahn were influences for you, but it seems like you've amalgamated just about everything you've heard and put it through a good blues rock strainer.
Okay, well, that perfect. And I appreciate you going into that detail, but and that's exactly what how I was born and bred. You mentioned Steve Vai and Stern and Kahn. I took lessons from those guys. I knew it was important to take lessons early on. I went to Berklee College of Music. And it was important to study. I didn't know how far to go with it, you know. It's like being a doctor. Do you learn enough to help pull a tooth, or do you learn enough to do brain surgery? You know, you just go as far as you can, but then you got to hit the streets and you got to play, and you have to learn every style of music. So I was big into that, and the teachers that I learned from groomed me as a session guy. Later on, it was a session guy that led me to meeting Johnny, because I was in the studio recording for NBC or the WWE. But that's how this versatility came about. And the album, after Johnny passed, I got together with artists that I had seen on the road, knew about, and that were recommended to me or I saw. And I had singer Morton Fenheim, who was a huge Bad Company fan, 70s kind of vibe kind of fan. He was like one of the top guys on The Voice over in Europe. So I produced his album. I said, boy, if I ever do my stuff, I would love to have him. And he was available. I got the bass player from Papa Chubby, from Samantha Fish. I got drummer Chris Redden from Papa Chubby, Chris Alexander from Samantha Fish. And then I did the Island Exodus jam with Government Mule, a friend of mine, Warren Haynes and Sonny Landreth and Ron Holloway. And Danny Lewis was the keyboard player, and he is on one of the tracks, Keep It All Together. We were really into that 70s kind of, not to be dated, but to respect that style, the important guitar riff. I mean, I can shred and I can play and all that kind of stuff, and all my fans know I can do that. But the thing is, I'm tired of people giving people a guitar lesson every time they listen to it. It's like, little, 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 little. I liked what they did in the 70s, what Brian May did, what Joe Perry did, what Joe Walsh did, all those kind of guys that they play for the sake of the song. So I really concentrated on that. And this is the album that came out, and it's doing really well. It's released worldwide on the Sony, and we're already starting to do more stuff. And you can get it anywhere. It's, you know, just look Paul Nelson and it's available.
You made a really important point, Paul, particularly in regard to the guys that you just mentioned, but also in regard to yourself. And when I gave the record a listen, it was like you said it, you play for the song.
Right. That's the key. And if you notice, everything is thought out. I mean, not to the point where it's like I'm trying to go for the money grab, because I appreciate the music first, but I know what is entailed to make stuff to get your stuff heard for guys like you. I mean, I worked with Johnny Winter for years, and everybody knew he was one of the greatest guitar players and singers and slide players in the world.
Yeah, oh yeah.
But the thing was, when everyone would play a Johnny Winter song, it'd be like, okay, I'm going to play a little Johnny Winter, and we'll be back in a half an hour. You know what I'm saying? Unless it was a song that was purposely written for him, like Rock and Roll Hoochie Coo or that kind of thing. Another thing I bought from the 70s was the fact that your message was given. You know, some of the songs were a little longer, you know, Boston kind of stuff or Bohemian Rhapsody, but traditionally it's in a certain length or whatever. So
right.
I had to make my statement within that context. You know, there's a reason why movies are an hour and a half long. There's a reason why songs are 4 minutes and 5 minutes. That's the area you have to work in. And then it doesn't become so infinite, which actually helps a songwriter not be all over the place. You start, okay, I have to do something within the time frame. So the 70s stuff was really, it was a whole album through, you know, researching all these albums. It wasn't like an individual track that gets played, but I'm not talking about like a theme like The Wall or something, but the songs flowed together. It was an experience. So that's what I wanted to create. I wanted to create an album that people say, hey, you know, I have this collection of 70s classic rock. I haven't heard this. Oh, this just came out. Why isn't this part of my collection? That's what I want fans to listen to and enjoy and just tap their feet to it, you know?
Yeah, man. So, I tell you what, when I dug deep into the album, the tracks Cold Hearted Mama, Leave It All, Keep It All Together, Swamp Thing, Down Home Boogie. Oh, man, baby. This stuff has taste and it's well honed. You could tell you know what you're doing in the studio. You could tell you know how to make records. And I tell you what, man, you cats, you guys probably rip it live.
Yeah, yeah. We did some shows West Coast, Midwest, went over really well. East Coast, it's just been, the response is nuts.
It's been a long time since I felt the pain. I tried real hard not to go insane.
Oh,
occasionally have the bass player from Foghat sit in. We do like Slow Ride, a tribute, you know, little Foghat stuff, which is from that era too.
Yeah, yeah.
So it opens up the doors to a large, you know, there's something missing now that I've noticed in studying that music. Where are the front men? Who's the next Zeppelin? Not that I'm that, but where is the next Aerosmith? Where's the next Queen? Where's the next AC/DC? You know, where are those kind of, everybody's singing kind of guitar or singing, but which is not a bad thing, but it's like we're losing that something. So I really wanted to, all the elements of that style, I wanted to, like I said, I wanted to pay homage to it. You know, our generation pay homage to that, but I didn't want it to be dated with production value was like, well, I can't listen to this. This is like
right.
Old.
Well, I tell you what, brother, we're going to skedaddle here, but man, it's been a gas talking to you. And the Paul Nelson Band, Badass Generation, that's the record. These guys crunch. Paul, thanks for hanging out with us.
Thanks. Thanks for playing music, and thanks for the great interview. I really appreciate it.
Okay, man. Take care of yourself.
Okay. Bye.
For more information on the Paul Nelson Band, you can go to our website, wvxu.org. Hey, I'm Ron Esposito. Thanks for hanging out.
And now to end this Grammy special on the blues, a song by Miles Davis, Backseat Betty. It's from the Miles Ahead soundtrack. Don Cheadle's Miles Ahead movie was filmed here in Cincinnati, and it's up in the Grammy category, Best Compilation Soundtrack for Visual Media. Thank you. Thanks for listening to The Blues on 91.7 WVXU Cincinnati and 88.5 WMUB Oxford. I'm Lee Hay.